Thank you. Now would you please turn your attention to the screen for our scripture lesson this morning.
Today our scripture comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 5. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to add my welcome to everybody this morning. It's good to see you all here on this beautiful day God has gifted us with. And those of you who are worshiping online, we welcome you as well. As we are hearing God's word today, we know that it is God's word to us. It has meaning for our life. As we seek its understanding, let us ask God's Spirit to help us in that. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? God, we thank you for this chance to worship you in this place. And if you're online and we're worshiping you at home or wherever we are, we just thank you that this is a day to worship you, to draw near to you, to hear from your word, God. We thank you for your word today. We ask that you might use it as a light unto our path. Help us to seek its understanding for our lives today, Lord. For we know that you shape us through your word. So come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds. Our very souls are being shaped by your word today. I pray that you would use me in this time to speak your words in a way that glorifies you and you alone, and that we are all drawn together in our relationship with you, God. That is our heart's desire. May your Spirit now bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we are continuing a series of sermons that we're calling Finding Freedom. This is where we're talking about the process of breaking free from the things that bind us, the things that keep us from experiencing the life that God created us for. And last week, we talked about the beginning steps of this process. That is taking the courageous step to hope again. You may feel like you're alone and forgotten. You may think that you will always feel the way that you're feeling right now, that there's no way out, there's no hope for a better tomorrow. But that is simply not true. For God is always with us. The presence and the power of the resurrected Christ is always with us. And as we learned last week from the story of Israelites' deliverance, that God hears our cries. That God knows what you're struggling with in your life. And God is at work even now to help bring about that which Jesus promised in his very first sermon to us when he said, "I have come to bring liberty to the captives and to set the prisoners free." So if you're discouraged with life, with yourself, if you're feeling bound by the circumstances you're dealing with in your life, and God knows, with all that we have been through in this year of 2020, it's easy to feel that way. But I want you to know that it's only a matter of time. Soon and very soon, you will begin to experience the freedom that Christ promises for his people. If you're willing to get plugged in to what God wants to do in your life. Because here's the thing, if you want to experience better circumstances in your life, before you can experience change without, you have to experience change within. In other words, without a soul change, without a mind change and a spirit change, no amount of external change is really going to do you any good. In order to experience the freedom that God promises us, we have to experience, first of all, change within. Because, you know, I think we all know of people who are rich and famous and successful, and yet we often see how their lives are in great turmoil. which just underlines the fact that external circumstances do not lead to one's happiness or one's sense of inner peace. If it doesn't exist inside of you, then it doesn't matter what's going on around you externally, you're going to still be miserable. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some of the things that tend to bind us and hold us captive in life. But this morning, I want to talk specifically about breaking free from emotional bondage. I'm talking about the persistent feeling of discouragement, the persistent feeling of, what is it all for? The feeling of having to deal with resentment when you really don't want to feel resentful. Having to deal with anger and irritability when you'd rather not feel angry and irritable all the time. Dealing with despair when you really want to feel optimistic about things. If you feel like you're a slave to your feelings, and if your feelings are getting the better part of your life, then I hope this sermon today will help you to begin to create some lasting change in your life. I'll have to tell you up front that this is not a snap of the finger kind of process that happens overnight. It takes hard work. It takes time and effort to overcome emotional bondage in our life. But it can be done with God's help. I also want to tell you that I'm not speaking this morning from just information that I've gained from somewhere else. I'm speaking this morning based primarily on my own experience. Because over my life, I have lived through emotional highs and emotional lows. I know firsthand that the lows can be very devastating. I used to make the excuse that I just can't change the way I feel. But I have learned that that is not a true statement. It's simply not true. You can change how you feel. It doesn't happen with a snap of the fingers overnight. But rather, it happens with a disciplined strategy for taking charge of your life. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And to help us to talk about this, we're looking at an Old Testament story found in the book of 1 Kings about an Old Testament prophet named Elijah. Now, when you look at Elijah at this point in his life, it seems like everything is going great. He's just had all these amazing experiences where God's power has been demonstrated through him, not once or twice, but many times. But now, when we pick up in our text, word comes to Elijah that Queen Jezebel has put a contract out on his life. And even though he has experienced God's power demonstrated over and over again, this news actually creates an emotional crisis for him. I mean, he kind of loses it. I mean, he flees for his life out of the wilderness and he's crying out to God, "I've had enough, Lord. I just can't take it anymore. Please, just end my life. I am done." That's what our emotions do to us sometimes, don't they? They distort our perspective on things. They cause us to blow matters up out of proportion in what they really are. And that's what was going on with Elijah. But, you know, Elijah had experienced these amazing demonstrations of God's power. He had seen how a dead boy came back to life. He had called down fire from heaven, literally, in that showdown with the prophets of Baal. He had prayed for rain, and the clouds were filled with a massive thunderstorm that almost flooded everything. So he was no stranger to God's power. And yet, all of a sudden, this Jezebel and her weak-willed husband, King Ahab, they show up and they're just too much for him to handle. And he flees into the wilderness saying, "God, please just end my life. I'm done." Emotional turmoil can make melodramatics out of us all, can't they? Well, that's because it causes us often to see things not as they really are, a distorted view of reality. And that's why in the prophet Jeremiah we read these words, "The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. It is perverse. Who can understand it?" That's because the heart is where our emotions lie. You know, you really can't trust your heart because your emotions often lie, don't they? They trick us. They trick us in ignoring what really matters in this life. They cause us to begin to focus our attention on things that are less significant. This is why Solomon says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Well, that's where Elijah found himself. He was overwhelmed with his emotions. But this is not the end of Elijah's story. He actually gets his life straightened out. He overcomes this and gets things worked out in his life so that he experiences more of God's power demonstrated in his ministry as he lives on. It's an amazing story. But if you pick up where we are in our text today and you read the rest of this story, you begin to find some, I think you begin to find some very important tips and hints for how we can make an emotional turnaround in our own lives. Or we're dealing with difficulty. And that's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to look at how this story of Elijah helps us to find that freedom that God promises for his people. And the first step that we're going to talk about and that we find in this story doesn't perhaps seem like a very spiritual point, but it is very important nonetheless, especially for those who are dealing with emotional turmoil in their lives. And that is to start taking care of yourself. And I'm talking about your most physical basic needs. We need to start taking care of ourselves. The ones that we tend to neglect and ignore when we're going through emotional turmoil. After Elijah fled into the wilderness, and he makes this over-the-top prayer to God to end his life, we read in the Bible that he lay down under a broom tree and he began to sleep, fell asleep. And after a while, an angel woke him up and told him to eat and to drink some water. Then he lays back down and he sleeps some more. An angel wakes him up again and says, I want you to eat again because you're going to need strength from the journey that you're about to take. And so he eats, and then he takes this 40-day journey to Mount Sinai, where he finds a cave on the side of the mountain where he's able to get another good night's sleep. And then God began to deal with him. But I want you to notice the steps that are happening here, the things that are taking place. Elijah ate, he slept, and he walked. Now, those are very basic physical things, but they're very important things, especially when you're dealing with emotional turmoil in your life. If you've ever experienced that, or if you've ever observed others who are going through emotional turmoil in their life, you notice how they often begin to ignore the very basics of their physical needs and self-care. When they get down emotionally, they begin to get depressed, despairing, discouraged. The first thing they often do is they begin to stay up all night, either watching TV all night or they play video games, or they will stop going out. They kind of withdraw. They don't leave the house. They don't engage with other people. You see that they begin to eat everything in sight, or either they don't eat at all. Either way, they don't eat healthily. And any health professional will tell you that these three things are essential. They really have a huge impact and make a difference in our emotional well-being. Sleep, eating, and exercise. We all know this. And anytime I'm struggling with emotional difficulty in my own life, or I'm counseling with other people who are going through depression or discouragement, this is always the first question I ask them. Are you taking care of yourself physically? Now, again, that seemed to be very spiritual, but it is very biblical. Because God expects us to take care of our bodies. It is why the Apostle Paul says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And he lives within you and was given to you by God? In other words, what we do physically impacts us greatly emotionally and spiritually. Therefore, we have to make sure we're taking care of those basic physical needs within us. And that means that every one of us here, especially if you're going through emotional difficulty or turmoil in your life, we all need to put these items on our daily to-do list to get enough sleep. That's the first thing. Just get enough sleep. 8 hours is what they say is optimum sleep a night. Some of us rarely get that, but I don't know about you, but when I get enough sleep, the people around me tend to be less irritable to me, irritating to me. They begin to be less irritating to me, and the situations I'm dealing with tend to be less discouraging when I get enough sleep. The second thing is to eat healthily throughout the day. And I would say for those of you who may be going through times of discouragement or despair, that you probably need to put a moratorium on sugar. But it just doesn't affect us in a good way. That means no gorging yourself in the middle of the night on ice cream. Let's just need to quit that kind of stuff. Third thing is to move around as much as you can. In other words, take a walk every day, to try to stay active. There's plenty of science to back this up, that the cumulative effect of doing these three things every day will actually make you feel better. So the first step in breaking free emotionally is to take care of ourselves physically. And no matter where you fall on the physical spectrum of health, this is something I think we can all do a better job at, especially since many of us have been quarantined during this pandemic and not taking care of ourselves physically as we ought to be. We all could take this advice to heart. It is something I think we need to challenge ourselves this week to do a better job taking care of ourselves physically. The second step toward breaking free emotionally, I think, is we find in this story is the part about reaching out to others. When you're in the midst of an emotional tailspin, not only do you not take care of yourselves physically, we also tend to withdraw emotionally. We overlook the needs of others around us, focusing only on ourselves. And maybe you can relate to this. Someone comes to you that has a need, and the first response you have, whether you say it to them in person or out loud or not, is, you know, listen, I've got enough on my plate to deal with right now. I don't have the time or the energy to try to fix you. You ever said that to yourself? Of course you have. Don't look so innocent. I mean, we've all done this. We all feel this way. There's something about emotional turmoil that causes us to become self-absorbed. It causes us to focus only on ourselves, doesn't it? And, you know, when you're absorbed with your own problems and focused just on your own issues, you really don't want to be bothered with the needs of others, do you? This is something I think we all have experienced. I can't tell you the number of times throughout my ministry that people have said to me things like, you know, I'm just going through a real tough time right now emotionally. I just got a lot of stuff going on. And so I'm just not going to be able to continue in this ministry that I was working in until my life gets straightened out, until the situation changes. Now, there are times when that isn't a very appropriate decision to make for self-care or other reasons. But for every one time that is a valid reason for pulling back on ministry efforts, there are 99 other times that is simply a self-absorbed excuse. Right? Yeah, back when we were having the flood around here, we were taking work teams out to people's houses. I can remember meeting a man who was working in the same neighborhood that we were working in. And we crossed paths taking debris out to the street. And I had a conversation with him, and I discovered that his own house had become almost destroyed by the flood. And so I asked him, well, how are you finding time to be out here working on your neighbor's homes when your house is flooded? He said, because working with these other people helped me to feel better. Now, helping others was not making any improvements or helping his situation at home, but it was making him feel better. And that's often the way it goes. Because it helped him to take his eyes off of himself, didn't it? Stop focusing on everything that was going wrong with him, and he began to focus on the needs of others. And this is how it works. I mean, if you've ever been a part of a neighborhood that's gone through disaster and everybody's working together to rebuild, or if you've been a part of a team that's volunteering to help others or hurricane victims or whatever, you know what I'm talking about here. When God was speaking to Elijah in that cave on Mount Sinai, notice what he said to him. What he asked him to do. He asked him to go out and start helping others, ministering to others, serving others. He tells him, go anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Anoint Jehu to be king of Israel. Go and anoint Elijah to be your protege and your successor. In other words, Elijah, I know that you're feeling down and out right now, really bummed out about this, but you're still my prophet. I know you feel like you're alone and you've been forgotten, but you're not. I know you feel like you may not have a future, but you do. So go out and be the prophet that I called you to be. Use your gifts to serve others. Make a difference. And when Elijah began to reach out to others, then it enabled him to take his eyes off of himself and to break free from those emotions that were tempting him to believe that he needed to just to give up. I think the same is true for us. When we're stuck emotionally, the temptation always is to withdraw, to pull back, to do less, and just to focus on ourselves, our own problems. That's always a temptation. We always face that, and yet we have to resist that. And the best ways to resist that and to break free from that kind of emotional bondage is to find ways every day to serve others, to minister to others, to take our eyes off of ourselves and to help others. As Peter says, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has been given. So we need to try to take care of ourselves physically. We need to be reaching out to others. And I think there's one more step of getting control of our emotional turmoil or situation that we're finding ourselves in. And it comes from this story, and that is to seek the presence of God continually. To seek God's presence. In that cave on Mount Sinai, Elijah began to pour his heart out to God. And to be sure, there was some self-pity in his words, but he was earnestly seeking God's presence. And God came to Elijah, and he said to him, in effect, Elijah, let me show you how I am present with you. You remember he told Elijah to go out of the cave and stand on the side of the mountain. And a mighty wind began to blow. A storm began to blow up. The wind was so strong that it began to cause rocks to fall down on the side of the mountain. But God was not in the wind. And then he says a great earthquake began to shake the very foundations of the mountain. But God was not in the earthquake. And then a fire began to blaze on the side of the mountain. But God was not in the fire. And then finally, Elijah heard the voice of God. And that still, small voice whispering to him. And he listened. And he understood. And he obeyed. Like Elijah, we often wait for the mighty wind and for the earthquake to come along and to change our circumstances. But God wants to change us from the inside out first. Before God can change your circumstances, he wants to change you. And that always leads us in the direction of a much deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So if your emotions are not where they need to be right now, come to Jesus. Lay your burdens, whatever they are, at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Turn to him. Let him speak to you in his gentle, soul-changing, still, small voice. Make seeking God's presence a part of your daily priority. Spend time in his word daily. Spend time in prayer daily, sharing your heart with God, listening for his voice, listening for his instructions, asking for his help, drawing closer to him in every way that you can. And don't wait until you start to feel better in order to seek God's presence. Seek his presence today. Continue to seek his presence every day until the fullness of his presence and his power are made known in your life. Because this is his promise. As the prophet Isaiah says, they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the kind of emotional turnaround and freedom that God promises his people. If we will seek his presence, if we will simply try to do his will. So, you know, when you're trapped emotionally, your mind begins to play tricks on you. Your heart begins to deceive you. You find that your perspectives get confused and distorted. Your priorities become distorted as well. And the pattern only begins to get worse because you're trying to fix your problems in all the wrong ways. When we've been conditioned to think that, you know, when my life becomes good again, then I will feel better, and then I can do good things. But that's not the sequence that we find in the Bible. In this story from Elijah, you find that's not how it works. It is rather when you do good, then you begin to feel good, and then your life becomes better. That's how it works. You may have always believed that there's really nothing you can do about the way that you feel. That's simply not true. There are lots of things you can do about the way you feel, but it always begins by taking the step of obedience. It always begins by taking steps in the direction of God and what He wants to do for your life and His will for your life. Doing the things we've been talking about this morning. Millard Fuller, the founder of Habitat for Humanity, puts it this way. He says, it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than to think your way into a new way of acting. The same goes for our emotions. When you do good, when you take care of yourself physically, when you reach out to others and serve others who are in need, when you seek God's presence on a daily basis, when you do good things, then you will begin to feel good, and then life will become better. That's how it works. But as I said at the beginning, this is not a snap of the finger and it's done process. This is a day-by-day process. But here's the results. It won't be long before you will be running and not getting weary. You'll be walking and not feeling faint. It won't be long before you'll begin to soar again like eagles. That's God's promise for us. That's our hope. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is so easy to feel discouraged in the world that we're living in today. There's so much around us, everything we hear on the headlines, the condition of our world, our nation, our very lives. So many of us are suffering today, and it's so easy to just feel despair. But God, you call us today. We thank you for this story of Elijah, this reminder of how your Spirit is always with us, and that you have the power, and you've given us the promise that you will free us from these feelings of despair and bondage, because you have so much for us to do. So God, may we hear that promise today. May we embrace it. May we seek to follow the things that we've learned in this story, to take steps with your help to break free from the emotional bondage that is just dragging our lives down right now. Help us to find joy and peace and purpose in you, God, once again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.